an update on NAFI after a contentious year in the flight instruction community. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Here at Oshkosh, I'm sitting in the Learn to Fly tent that EAA has up here. It has a lot of things in it, but the thing that we're interested in right now is it has the National Association of Flight Instructor Headquarters, and I'm here talking with Jason Blair, who is a Master CFI and Executive Director of NAFI. Jason, how you doing?
Paul, I got to tell you, we're looking at the crowds here. It's phenomenal. This is a new site for NAFI. We've partnered with EAA this year to take over the Learn to Fly Discovery Center and really run a great show. And what we've done is partnered with a number of other organizations to help people get a feeling of what it's like to learn to fly, to provide them information about where they can do it, and just let people know it's a lot of fun to go do it. That's what flight instructors are here for, and that's why we partnered together to have that chance to use our flight instructors that are NAFI members to talk with the people that walk through and ask the simple question of, can I learn to fly and how do I do it?
All right, before we go any further, let's catch up on recent events.
Sure.
Because obviously it's been a kind of a rocky year. Tell us where NAFI is now in terms of the course you've charted, the changes in your bylaws, and the status of your master instructor program.
Our master instructor program has gone through some changes. It resulted also in some changes in our composition of our board. We had some program changes we wanted to make, and we wanted to make sure that the master instructors that are accredited by NAFI are really and truly master instructors. Some of those changes we made may mean that some individuals who previously were masters won't be anymore. We ask now that individuals have at least 1,000 hours of instruction given to be a NAFI master instructor. And that's a big statement. That means somebody's spent the time and they're actively working with students in the past, but we've also changed some of our categories to make sure that the individuals over the past 2 years have continued to work with students. It can't be just I gave 1,000 hours 10 years ago. To be a NAFI master instructor, it's somebody who's actually working with students. They're very active and they're doing the extra things along with publishing and providing information to FAA safety teams and continuing on to their own professional development. So we're very confident with the changes we made that when somebody says they're a NAFI master instructor, somebody who goes to them for training is really and truly getting high quality instructional training and somebody who really knows what's going on. That was the program change that we needed to make. We've had some other changes that we've gone through. We're looking at adding group members to NAFI. That's a program we announced about a week and a half ago where flight training organizations can become members of NAFI. Along with that come special discounts from some of our partners. A couple of them are in the tent here with us, pilotjourney.com to help provide marketing information for them, and also McConnell Aviation to provide discounts on flight training products that the schools and the flight training organizations are going to actually sell to their customers. What the goal is to get the organizations involved. Along with those also come individual memberships that they can hand out to their flight instructors. Those are two big changes in NAFI. Our goal is to help make learning to fly something that the flight instructors are helping to push within the industry. From a programmatic standpoint of the organization itself, we are going through some board changes. We are looking to add a way to have our members elect members to our board. We have currently 3 open board positions and we have not filled them. We're waiting till after AirVenture to continue on in the next process. Our board has committed that member elections will be coming for those. We're still working on some agreements to make that happen. We do have some work to do with EAA in our affiliation agreement to make the logistics of that work, but it will be happening. So we are going to see members electing portions of our board. The exact logistics are still being finalized, but it will happen. So from a NAFI perspective overall, we're continuing on. We're doing what we've always done, and that's promote flight instructors, promote flight instruction, and try and provide the best support we can. I spend a lot of time in Washington, D.C., a bit of time in Oklahoma City. We've done a couple meetings here already this week, one talking about revision of Advisory Circular 6165 Echo to help improve some of the endorsements that flight instructors use, and one talking about pilots' operating handbooks, content, and flight training supplements in the LSA aircraft environment to make sure that what's being provided is useful to instructors and, in turn, useful to their students to make flight training as easy as possible for them. So we're out there doing everything we can to help promote flight instruction and work for the flight instruction members that are with NAFI.
Let's talk specifically about the issue of qualifying for renewal of an instructor certificate using the master's accreditation from NAFI. Is that nailed down now?
It is, absolutely. When we revised our program, we spent a lot of time talking with the FAA, figuring out how we were going to make this program really a robust program that somebody was truly a master. And as we worked with them, one of the things that they brought up is they really wanted to see that somebody was actively instructing, that it wasn't a FERC, it wasn't just a flight instructor renewal clinic. And that's really not what the NAFI Master Program is anyway. Yes, the individuals can get renewal of their flight instructor certificate, but it's based on what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, the high level of instruction that they're providing. There is another way to get your flight instructor renewed. There's a couple of ways. One of them is a FERC, where somebody can go take a course, and it requires a minimum of 16 hours of training over a variety of categories. Falls under an advisory circular that the FAA works with. Our program does not fall under that section of the FAR. What ours has been recognized as a level of competence and experience over a two-year period that meets or exceeds the FAA's needs for somebody to be renewed as a CFI based on what they're doing normally. This is a change from how it used to be. It used to be the NAFI program was kind of hodgepodge fit under the FERC guidelines, under a special waiver. We went to them, showed them the program we were working with. They were excited about it, and they issued us not just a 1 or 2 year authorization for it, but instead a recognition of the program's applicability for use in perpetuity at this point. So it's a nice strong statement from the FAA that they see this program's value, they continue to see it, to the point that Thursday morning the administrator will be at our breakfast. So we're excited about that. We spent a lot of time working with them and have a great relationship with them on it. So we appreciate their time helping us as we work through the process to make a great program.
Jason, when we come back from the break, let's talk in more general terms about some of the issues with flight instruction today, because there are a few. My guest is Jason Blair, who is Executive Director of NAFI. I'm Paul Plack. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
I see people here at Oshkosh carrying these big flat panel portables from Garmin, and golly, their grins are as wide across as those 7-inch multifunction displays. They've got GPS navigation with built-in moving maps, IFR airways and preloaded flight charts, plus terrain and obstacle alerts. There's also a GPS-derived panel display. And with a subscription, you can add XM weather. I'm thinking if you haven't seen the new GPS Maps 696, you better scoot over to the Garmin booths 4035 ABNC PDQ. Garmin, follow the leader at Garmin.com.
Can't make it to Oshkosh this year? Teledyne Continental Motors is offering exclusive web discounts on factory new and rebuilt engines for the first 50 engines ordered now through August 2nd for any engine owner unable to attend Air Venture. Check out www.genuinecontinental.aero or call 888-221-6442 for a quote.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Jason Blair of NAFI. We're talking here at Oshkosh about the flight instruction business. Jason, everybody seems to feel the Holy Grail is getting more pilot starts. Some people are speaking out saying that we probably have enough pilot starts. What's wrong? There's a defect in the process that makes people drop out. Where do you fall in that spectrum?
Somewhere in the middle. I certainly want more pilot starts. Every time we get somebody else involved and we hook them a little bit, we have another chance at that person being completed. But we do have a large dropout rate in terms of start to finish for people as they pursue their training. And I will say, I think in one respect, we're selling it wrong. Throughout the history of selling aviation, we've tried to come up with logical reasons why somebody should be a pilot. It'll get you to your next business meeting faster. It'll save you money. You can take your family trip. We don't need a reason. That's the most important thing. If we ask somebody, why did you go golfing on Sunday? Their answer's simple. I like golfing. It was fun. That's all the reason that we need to go flying. If somebody says, why would you go flying today? We need the answer to be acceptable to say, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a blast. I had fun. And I think that's something that as the instructor corps, NAFI, needs to help promote better. And I think that's the direction we're going to go, is to promote the experience. You know, the experience of flying is special. It's enjoyable. It's fun. Let's let them have it. The first thing we should talk to students about is not how much it's going to cost you and how hard it's going to be. It's going to be about the amazing time you're going to have today when you go up in the air. You know, yes, there are costs associated with it, and we have to be realistic with those. But we have to show them how much fun they're going to have and let them enjoy that, too. I think that's an approach that you're going to see coming out of NAFI, and I think that's an approach you're going to see coming through the industry. The more I talk with people, the more I start to feel that sentiment from other organizations as well, that we're all trying to get to that point where we just want people to know how much fun it is and let them enjoy it. So I think that's the direction we're going to end up going. So it is still a hard industry. We have a lot of flight schools out there that are fighting to keep themselves alive. It's a tough marketing base. We do have people that come in and out of flight training. But if we sell it to them the right way, I think we'll get to keeping people in it.
All right, now let me give you a scenario. This is anecdotal, but this is an actual case that was brought to my attention recently. Flight instructor or someone with a CFII rating walks into a flight school, has over 1,500 hours of time, has a $140,000 student loan for education obtained at a college in a region where true IFR is very easy to come by, and yet he has 0.8 hours in actual clouds. Now, there are a couple of philosophical ways around that issue. First of all, do you think it's an issue? And second of all, how do we approach it? Regulatory, get the insurance industry to give a discount to actual IFR pilots, or something else?
I think it is an issue. We need to make sure individuals who are getting training are getting the training that's going to help them in the real world. If there is the opportunity to get into actual instrument conditions safely, and we're not in icing conditions, things like that, I think it's a strong benefit for the individual to get into it and get the feeling for it. But we're certainly going to have areas of the country where that is hard to do, if not impossible in some cases. If we take somebody who trains in the Northeast in the winter, you can put them into IFR all day long and they're going to end up being a popsicle. So we may not have that opportunity. If we put them out in the Southwest where we don't get IFR, they may not get that opportunity. So I think we need to make sure that our training is robust enough in terms of the diversity that we're getting in the experience, whether the weather conditions cooperate or not. If we can get them into IFR, I'm certainly a proponent of it. I do take my own students into it if it can be done safely, and I think they end up being more comfortable with their instrument rating as a result. I personally am a little bit nervous when the person gets their instrument rating. They've never been in IFR, and the first flight they do IFR is a solid IFR day. But I think aeronautical decision making is a part of that from the instructor corps. If you teach somebody and they've never had that opportunity, maybe as we teach them, their decision making process is setting appropriate personal minimums for the first few times they go into it. You know, maybe it's not down to 200 and a half mile visibility on an ILS. Maybe they set their own personal minimum at 1,500 AGL ceilings and a mile visibility or 2 miles visibility where they're going to climb through, descend through, and they build their own skills as they go along the way. I'm probably more of a proponent that that be in a industry-related situation than a regulatory one. I think as the industry, we can influence each other and promote those good aeronautical decision-making processes without having to go to a regulatory fashion to see new things put on place or put in place for us on that.
Final question for me today, Jason, is stall spin accidents are still just unconscionably common, you know, and they seem to be the same pattern, you know, off one end of the runway or the other, over and over and over. What's the answer?
I don't know that we have the answer yet. I think the answer is training is the best answer we have. Now, exactly what in that training? Awareness is a big part of it. I think focusing on that in things like flight reviews that are done biannually, focusing on it in recurrent training and just keeping the awareness up there that is our continued biggest killer. We need to stay focused on it as instructors. We need to stay focused on it as pilots. I think it's important that the only time we do stalls shouldn't be just our annual or biannual flight review. We should go out and practice as pilots. You know, going up and doing 3 takeoffs and landings is fantastic. Maybe slide out of the pattern for 10 minutes, go practice some stalls, practice some maneuvers, and stay good and comfortable with the airplane. Training's important, but awareness is also very, very important to it as well.
Okay, we've come now to the portion of the program where you get to do a 30-second commercial for NAFI. 3, 2, 1.
The National Association of Flight Instructors is really moving forward. I've been here a little bit over a year now, and I can tell you I'm excited about where we're going. We have made some changes in a couple of our programs that I think have improved them. We have announced a new program, our group membership, to bring in other members of flight training organizations, not just the independent flight instructor. And I think if you watch over the next few days, we're going to have some neat, new, exciting things that we're going to be launching as well in partnership with other members in the aviation community. I will say flight instruction, I think, is a key part of the future of aviation. If we don't have flight instructors, we don't get new pilots. But if we don't have new pilots, we don't need flight instructors either. So there's a symbiotic relationship there, and I think all of us are going to work together to really help keep aviation alive. So I look forward to it, and NAFI will be a part of that.
Well, Jason, we always appreciate your time. I know it's tough to get a sliver of it during Air Venture Week, but thanks for joining us today.
And thanks for your time as well.
My guest has been Jason Blair, Executive Director of NAFI. The website is www.nafinet.org. That's N-A-F-I-N-E-T.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. You can find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow from Oshkosh. Have a clear and unlimited day.